This is Julian Morrow with you on Sunday Extra, and now to some late-breaking news about the late medieval period. Researchers at Durham University in the UK recently found a document that shed some light on the use of sick leave during the Black Death. The Black Death swept through Europe in the late 1340s, and with estimates of the amount of people killed ranging from a third of the population up to a half and maybe even beyond that, it's perhaps understandable that death tends to be the focus of research about the Black Death. But Dr. Grace Owen is a co-author of a paper about surviving the Black Death in medieval England, just published in the journal Historical Research. And I'm very pleased to say that Dr. Grace Owen joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Grace.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a great pleasure. Now, your research focuses on what's described as a previously unnoticed document in the British Library medieval record. So, Grace, what was this document and why was it unnoticed, I suppose, as well?
The document itself that we found was a manorial account which belonged to a medieval lord. And in England, these were records that were created each year that detailed the income and expenditure on a medieval manor. And so just very briefly, manors were owned by lords and lived on by peasants. And these peasants owed their lord not only rents, but they were also required to work on the lord's land, giving things like ploughing services and the harvest. And because these accounts were intended to record the activities and, as I said, the income and expenditure, we don't often get to see things like illness. That's what makes this document so interesting, because we don't see illness on any of these records that we usually get to look at when we're examining peasants or sickness or anything else like that. Typically, if a peasant was ill and unable to perform the labour services that they owed, they usually had to find a replacement, or the records simply state that the services were missed. It would just write the lump sum of how many works weren't performed, rather than detailing who was ill and for how long. And this record is the only one that we know of across England and even across many parts of Europe that actually stated survives for the Black Death and tells us how many people were ill, how long they were ill for, and how long it took them to recover.
So what is it about this particular document that means that you've found something that sheds light on these otherwise obscure issues?
This particular manorial record belongs to Ramsey Abbey, which is located in Huntingdonshire. And the reason it exists almost feels like pure administrative luck. These monks decided, which seems very strange, but yeah, these monks decided that they wanted to track how many works were missed because a peasant was ill. So in other non-Black Death years, we see the number of people that were ill, how long they were ill for, how many labour services they missed, and they totaled it all up. And as I said, most of the time we don't see this at all. On this manor, it was something they decided to record. We occasionally get glimpses of illness elsewhere, but this was the only place in England that we know of that did it with any, you know, regimental focus. They were so assiduous, basically, that in recording that detail that we get to see who was ill. And this account in particular, has gone unnoticed, because part of the main account for the works, this number of peasants were ill and this number of works were missed. And that's all it says to begin with. So it's not very exciting. But actually, what they decided to do, because so many peasants were ill, they wrote on a separate piece of parchment the name of each peasant and sewed it into the record. And initially, it just looks like a list of names and numbers. But actually, it's the number of people that were ill. And we know that they were ill, hadn't died, because we see them in subsequent records as well.
Right. So that brings me to another big question I had about this, Grace, which is sick leave in the medieval period. I didn't know that was a thing, not least for the Black Death. So could you give us a bit more context there, please?
That's a really good question. And sick leave is probably...
putting it a bit high, I suspect.
Putting it a bit high, but it's in a term that any reader will know, and I think it's quite engaging. So sick leave that we're talking about here doesn't quite match up to what we have now. When these peasants were ill, they weren't being compensated for what they were doing. They were just not being penalised for not doing it.
Mm.
So it's sort of, I hesitate to use the word generous, that they did it, but better than some of the other circumstances that they had. These peasants had to pay if they wanted to get married. They had to pay if they wanted to leave their lord's land. They had to pay if they had a child out of wedlock. They had to pay all different kinds of rents. Some of the labour services they performed per year could be in the hundreds. So the fact that they got some allowances for being sick was quite interesting. We did a broader survey in a separate article that looked at what sick leave, I put sick leave in quotes there, yes, sick leave practices peasants had across England. And the most common amount, if it happened, was between 2 to 4 weeks you were allowed off, and then usually less during the harvest period because that was a more labour-intensive period of time. Whereas at these Ramsey Abbey manors in Huntingdonshire, they were allowed up to a year and a day of missing all of their labour services. And this is where I think about it being quote-unquote generous, that they were allowed this long of just not doing any works. And as I said, these could number in the hundreds. So in some respects, they were given quite large allowances. And I think this is in part why these monks on this particular manor cared about ensuring that who was sick and how long for was recorded, because the tenants were allowed such a long period of time away from work if it was necessary.
Fascinating. Now, Grace, how do we know that these absences from work were due to the Black Death?
The reason we're very confident that it's the Black Death is that the illnesses appear in the summer period, which is sort of about May to June time in the accounting records. And we get 22 peasants who were ill, which doesn't necessarily seem like a lot, but in a typical summer, there was usually only 3 peasants at most that were ever recorded as ill. So when you plot the data, you see 1 to 3 each summer, and then this big increase in this 12-13 week period of 22 peasants who were ill and then recovering.
And it does sort of spookily coincide with when the Black Death is really quite a bit of a thing around Europe.
Yes. So in England, the Black Death struck in 1348, and different regions, some regions seem to have been hit twice or had quite prolonged outbreaks. In this particular area, in the southeast of England, it coincides perfectly with when the Black Death struck this area.
Yeah, so you found this record of the amount of illnesses in the very year where the Black Death was going around. Now, it's called the Black Death for a very good reason. What were the survival rates of the Black Death?
It's really hard for us to say. This list of 22 is fascinating, and it's incredible because it is so unique, although it does leave us with some questions, more questions even, in fact, that we can't answer. Before, we just knew that people survived because they had to, and that we're all here now. People did survive. And as you mentioned at the beginning, we have estimates between 30 and 60% mortality. But actually, the other, say we're looking at that other 50%, how many of them came away unscathed at all and how many were just ill is a difficult question to answer. And in this record, we're looking at landholding tenants who owed labour services. And that distinction is important because what it means is we're looking mostly at men in this record, and men that owed these labour services. We're actually not seeing the totality of the peasants who were ill on this manor. We're getting this interesting, tantalising glimpse into how they were affected by the plague. That's a really long-winded way of saying I can't say with any certainty how many people got the plague and survived.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Grace Owen, who's one of the co-authors of a paper about surviving the Black Death in medieval England. And so, Grace, we understand the inherent limitations of dealing with medical details from so long ago, but you have got this fascinating snapshot into work practices and absences from work in 1348. So bearing in mind those qualifications, what sort of observations do you feel you can make about the information that's in this previously unnoticed document?
Yeah, I've been very wary of highlighting the limitations of a document so far. So what we can show about it is we get in this list of 22 how long each person was absent for. And so one person was ill for as little as a week. One person was absent for 9 weeks with an average of 3 to 4. And it's interesting because it's likely that these longer term sick peasants, those who were ill for 8 to 9 weeks, would have suffered from secondary infections and complications from the plague, particularly when we're looking at peasants that would have been living on the edge of subsistence. And the fact that there were buboes, lesions, vomiting, diarrhea, blisters would have weakened the survivors. So it highlights to us, it's not just about getting the plague and recovering, but the knock-on economic and social effects that would have been caused from being ill and absent from work for so long.
Because the Black Death itself was renowned for killing very quickly, wasn't it? It was in sort of a few days. But you said on average that people were, where they were able to return to work, it was in with about 3 to 4 weeks. It did make me wonder, though, whether there were sort of cases of, I know we've got long COVID, was there long Black Death as well? People who had to take longer to recover?
Well, I think that's exactly it. Not everyone would have been affected in the exact same way. And you had different types. You had pneumonic and bubonic types of plague as well. So pneumonic plague affected people. And that was the one where we know people died with much, much quicker. Bubonic seems to be the one perhaps where peasants were, or anyone who caught it, was ill for longer, as you said, with that long COVID. And this is the record showing us how long it took them to go back to work, not necessarily just how long they were ill for. Mm. It's possible, even probable, that peasants were sequestering themselves away at home, either for fear of spreading the plague or recatching it themselves. And again, that weakened state of maybe they were recovered enough to survive, but not recovered enough to go back out and perform these intense labor services. And these were just labor services for their lord, not necessarily even for their own economic well-being. You're bringing in wages and food for themselves. We're seeing this really interesting range of absences, and a lot of the chronicles, which is some of the only records we had before this that talked about recovery, speak about recovery in miraculous terms and in more spiritual terms about how they just happened to recover. But these are isolated incidents rather than this set list of who was ill and for how long.
And one of the observations that you and your colleagues make, Grace, is that tenants of larger holdings seem to be overrepresented in these stats of taking leave but then returning to work. Why do you think that would be?
It's a really interesting but complicated problem that we've been dealing with. So one of the reasons that peasants with larger holdings, and a larger holding would have been about 30 acres or so, it would have been overrepresented, is because they owed usually more services than those who had, say, only 1 to 10 acres. And by that, I mean, during the harvest time, these could be 5 to 10 works a week, whereas someone who only owed a work on one day a week might not have been as representative in the material. However, saying that, if some of these peasants are ill for 7 to 8 weeks and they only owed 1 work a week, you'd think that we would still be seeing them in this material. So perhaps these are the peasants that either the monks were more focused on being able to record. It's hard to say.
And so, Grace, what do you think sort of flipping the focus of Black Death studies towards things like survival actually does in terms of our understanding of the Black Death period?
I think that being able to look at who survived, as you said at the beginning, thinking just away from the mortality, because that's the easier part to look at, even if that in itself is difficult, but it shifts us into thinking more about how did society change after the Black Death? And we're not just seeing from what the chronicles say of people either miraculously recovering, or where they talk about there were no labourers to be found and the fields were unworked, but actually it allows us to start thinking about, okay, someone might have only technically been ill for 1 to 2 weeks, but actually they couldn't return to work for 2 months after they caught the plague. How did this affect their social relationships, cultural perceptions of death and society, and what all of this meant? There were lots of discussions about this being a sign of from God, and how was society going to move on afterwards? So being able to look at the survival, those who survived, the economic elements, the social elements, and the cultural elements, and bring that back into the front of the conversation, which has been looked at a lot. This isn't just something new from us, but it helps us to add this new dimension to the conversation that's not been possible before. We've had to hypothesize what this could have been like, and now we actually have concrete evidence to show us.
It is amazing that this particular document can shed so much light and raise so many interesting questions about the Black Death period. But just before we go, Grace, I did want to ask you as well. I understand that you've moved on to other interesting areas of Black Death research. What are you looking into at the moment?
Yes, so part of this Black Death sickness recovery was actually sort of an unexpected but really fun element. Sounds bad to say fun, isn't it, when you're looking at death, but a really fun element to be able to look at. And because it was unexpected, an unexpected discovery, the broader project itself, which is modelling the Black Death and social connectivity in England, which is a Leverhulme funded project, is using computational modelling to simulate the spread of the plague in England. And it's so incredible because we're using technology that was created during COVID, that mapped COVID, and is currently still being used by the NHS in England for that purpose. So we've been able to, with the use of those who created it, so that's Professor Frank Krause, to use this technology and input the same kinds of demographic data into this model to simulate the spread of the plague in a way that the technology's not existed before. So what we're currently doing is, as much as possible, using archaeological, bioarchaeological evidence, so skeletal remains, all of these manorial records that record deaths, as well as, if there's any possible sickness and recovery, the clerical deaths, the deaths and nobility, inputting this into the model, when they died, how many people died, to be able to map the spread of the plague. And this part is beyond my expertise, but being able to, you know, play with the settings, you know, think about how, what kind of disease transmission, how it moved across, how many rats may or may not have been involved, what was the vectors of transmission, to see how the plague spread in England at this time.
Dr. Grace Owen, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra to discuss the Black Death.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. Grace Owen, postdoctoral researcher in late medieval history at Durham University. And the full journal article on surviving the Black Death in medieval England was published in Historical Research, or you can read about it in The Conversation under the title What a List of Black Death Survivors Reveals About the Way People Recovered from Plague.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.